Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening in today on Hannah's Heart. I am Anne, and I am sitting by, I'll call you my best friend.
Oh, thank you.
Kendra is not here today for this episode. She has family in town right now, actually, and so she is spending good quality time with her family in town. And so I asked a returning guest, my hubby, Will, to come on the program today. And you're here, actually, for more than just a fill-in, right?
That's right.
He is here to kind of get more in depth about on the men's side of loss today, you know, and I feel like we have definitely, I mean, we've heard story after story, unfortunately, of loss from a woman's side, and that's still definitely important and where our heart is through with Hannah's Heart, but we've had multiple men now say, like, hey, you know, I would really love to hear. I don't feel like there's necessarily much out there from a man's point of view of loss, you know?
Yeah, and just wanting to get a idea how they can support their wife and be there for them and love them, which is super neat that guys have reached out and want to do that.
Yeah, so you're here in studio with me, but we also have some guests on the phone today, all the way from Colorado. Yeah. We have Ryan and Kelsey Cole on. If you've listened to the show multiple times or throughout the years, you have heard Kelsey on two different programs now. She's come on to share about her loss, and we're going to talk about that more today. We're going to get to hear about her babies in heaven, but we also heard about the ministry that she and her best friend started called Foreknown Ministry. And so now we're going to get to hear from Kelsey and her husband, Ryan. Kelsey and Ryan, are y'all with us?
We are. Yeah. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. I'm so thankful for y'all coming on the program today.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It is such an honor to be with you again and to share the men's perspective because it's so important.
It is. Okay. It's definitely, the more I guess we've looked into it, it almost does seem like there's not much out there, which we're going to talk about a fix for that through y'all's ministry that Ryan has started. We'll get into that part two of this show. But today during this program, we just want to hear about y'all's family and about y'all's losses and how you've managed to stay together and, you know, from the outside looking in, even love each other more than what you might have without these losses, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. It is such an honor to tell our stories. You know, when we, you know, and you all know this because you are expert storytellers through this amazing podcast. And so to share a story, it really begins in 2010 when Ryan and I got married. So we'll be celebrating, yes, 15 years.
Wow.
This year.
Pros.
Which is a miracle in itself. You know, with everything that we have been through, with all of the loss that we've seen, it truly is a miracle.
Yeah.
You know, they say that after a couple experiences a miscarriage, there's up to 22% chance that the couple will go through a divorce after. And so, and that's upwards of, you know, 40% if couples go through an infant loss or a stillbirth of their baby. And so with those odds stacked against us, there is 140% chance that we should be separated right now. But God.
That's right.
And for through the grace of God, we are not separated, and we have chosen each other amidst all of it. Back in 2018, we were expecting our son, Whitson, This was after we did have our daughter, Kennedy, who is our only baby of six, Earthside, with us. And when we experienced the stillbirth of our son, Woodson, there was kind of a fork in the road moment, if you will, for not only us individually, but collectively as we're pursuing marriage, right? I will never forget, and I did tell this story fairly often, but I remember, you know, being sent home that day after finding out just a few days short of 38 weeks that Woodson no longer had a heartbeat. And that next morning we drove back to deliver him via C-section at our hospital. And I will never forget, and the moment when we're driving up I-25 in Colorado Springs, going to the hospital, and Ryan reaches over the center console and he grabs my hand and he just reminds me, like, no matter what happens today, I choose you. Mm-hmm. And that is such a red letter day in our marriage that I'll never forget, because I was so fearful of what that day was going to look like. Like, what is it going to look like to deliver a dead baby?
Right.
What is it going to look like to find joy again? What is it? I mean, all of the things that run through your mind. But that moment, he was my, not only such a rock, but such a reminder of God's reflection of his love for me in that moment too. Not just my husband's, but literally Ryan was like, those words were said by Ryan, but also voiced by God himself. I'm choosing you in these moments. Something I'll never forget.
Wow. Ryan, do you remember what would have even, I mean, what led you to say that? I mean, obviously the Holy Spirit, but yeah, like, how would you know to say such simple words, but such profound meaning?
I mean, it's only the Holy Spirit, honestly. It's the one good thing that I probably did that day, or said the right way, because there's, you know, there's so many different emotions that I'm carrying and she's carrying. I just really wanted to assure her that, you know, we're entering a new season day, that moment of our marriage, that a lot of people, unfortunately or fortunately, I'll say unfortunately, don't have to go through, because it actually drew us to a deeper place that she and I have had to communicate. We've had to talk. We've had to love each other at a different level. And we've had to really invite Jesus to be everything in our marriage, because there was no way we were going to get to 5 o'clock that day. There was no way that we were going to survive that day very well. And we just had to cover it with grace upon grace upon grace, because it was going to be an incredibly hard day, as you guys have experienced.
Yeah. Ryan, that's a beautiful thing, man. And you saying that, the way that you said, it's actually unfortunate, to say that most people don't experience something like that, that actually forces them to choose to grow closer with their spouse. And the way that I feel like I've said it is, it's bittersweet, this world we live in, that that circumstances like that, it is our choice which way we choose to go, but it actually can, when we choose. You were, it's beautiful that you told your bride you're going to choose her, but at that time you were really telling God, I'm choosing you, God. And that, man, that's beautiful.
Totally. So well, we went on to deliver within the next day, and it was then that, you know, our world was absolutely rocked. And what did it look like to grieve, right?
Like,
who gets married and in their counseling gets the rundown on how to go through grief together as a couple? Like, I don't know of any premarital counseling curriculum that that's included in. If you're out there listening and you include that, hit me up.
Yeah.
Because there's no step process in that on how to grieve yourself, but also how to grieve together. And so it looks like us asking a ton of questions every single day. Like, how was your day? What were the highs and lows of your day?
Yeah.
Or even like rate your day 1 to 5 when you're like, I don't want to give you words right now, but I'll give you a number and it sucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever that.
Sometimes that's all you can do. Like, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're walking through
because have the grace.
The physical part, I had to go through an emergency C-section, and then we didn't get the chance to meet John Micah before he passed away. But yeah, you're as a woman, you're healing physically and all of that. And to me, it just made sense that my body hurt as much, well, not as much, you know, but mentally, spiritually, emotionally, all of that. I was hurting in every way, and that just made sense. But then for Ryan to feel normal, you know what I mean? Like, but then to have all these awful, I don't know.
And just to see you, and I'm sure Ryan was the same, you know, to see y'all experiencing physical, emotional, spiritual, all the things hurt. It just...
Well... Yeah, and I mean, for us as a guy, I think the realization of, man, there's got to be somebody cheerleading you through that process. Coaching you through that process, because cheerleading is a female thing.
Yeah.
It's, there's got to be somebody alongside of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody alongside of you say, hey, this is going to be hard.
Yes.
It's going to be hard.
Yes.
This is going to be an excruciatingly hard thing. But man, Jesus is there in the middle of it. I remember when I was scrubbing in to deliver Whitson with our OB, who is a man, and he and I have a great relationship now because we really both felt, he's a believer as well, he and I both felt that the Lord was in that room with us. And here we are scrubbing in to do something incredibly hard. We did have to deliver Whitson by a C-section. And we were literally in the exact same OR that we delivered our daughter, Kennedy.
Wow.
Just the outcome was 180 degrees different. Same OB, same hospital, same room. But here we are going from the first time in total joy and the second time to total devastation. And just knowing that, man, there's a place where God has to work, and that's the time. And that's the prayer, and that's the place where we really want to look back and say, oh, there's where Jesus was in the midst of that. However, the pain was really, really palpable, as I'm sure you guys experienced. Mm-hmm. And so spending a little bit of time looking retrospectively at the loss and where God was is really important for us to be able to look forward again and say, wow, you were there in the midst of all of that pain and all that mess that we were going through. And we're so thankful for you, Jesus. Now let's continue to press into what that looks like in all situations in our marriage. And then kind of rediscover what a new level of communication and intimacy with Kelsey would look like. We don't believe in a new normal at Foreknown. We believe that God can heal this, and there's this opportunity for us to go to the next level with Jesus, and that's trusting him fully in all things together.
Yeah.
And that comes at this place where we invite Jesus into the hard things and the healing that he wants to work in with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ryan, you mentioned your doctor, that y'all have a great relationship now. Was there... was it just him, or was there someone else that was there for you through the grief?
Man, that's a tough, let me rewind the thoughts. Yeah, I mean, when we walked in to the doctor's office the very last time, so for us, what happened was we were being cared for and watched, frankly, like a hawk. We went in every week for continual updates and to hear the heartbeat and things of that nature. And so we went in one last time, you know, Friday afternoon to deliver on Monday morning. And this one last time, we couldn't find a heartbeat.
Oh, my goodness.
And I distinctly remember so much pain, so much of this bewilderment that men experience going from just the highest of highs. It's frankly the appointment that we took our daughter Kennedy to with us so she could hear her brother's heartbeat one more time before he comes out and kind of experience the cool science aspect of it. Right. And, man, for there not to be a heartbeat, obviously crushed everybody in the room. It crushed our doctor. It crushed the nurses. It crushed, frankly, everybody in the entire facility.
Yeah.
And I remember getting on the elevator when we finally mustered enough courage to go home. And the first person that we saw when we opened the doors, getting off the elevator, was our pastor.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And he followed us home and talked to us. And he prayed over us prayers that you would expect on a night like that, that was just powerful. And quickly our house filled with both Holy Spirit prayer and a lot of people that wanted us desperately for to change the outcome, right? They wanted Whitson to be with us.
Yeah.
And so there's so many people that we had for us, but I think the bigger thing is that those people, I'm going to say this and it sounds negative, but people go away and then you're left with just two of you, you and your wife. And now you need someone to help coach you through all of that deep, deep pain. And that's where life gets really, really real.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that y'all experienced that as well, is that I love the crisis team that comes in, and I love my pastor. Don't hear the negative side of that.
I'm
so thankful and grateful for all that. The thing, though, after the funeral and after the burial and after the next Tuesday, everybody else goes back to a life as normal, and here you are left with a nursery that's set up.
Yeah.
You're left with deep pain, and there's got to be a way to unpack all those things together.
Yeah.
And I know it looks different. It looks different per couple, per person. I know that. But do you have, what would y'all say to a couple, you know, that honestly might listen to this and hasn't walked through this yet, but that ends up walking through this? What would you say to them?
I would initially say, Anne, God, if you believe that God has appointed your spouse to marry you, if you believe that your marriage is meant to be, then trust him as your helpmate to be the person that you fully lean on, that you fully go to in the good times and the bad, that you, you know, like, yes, God has blessed me with wonderful girlfriends, but there is a God-ordained role that only my husband, Ryan, can fulfill, that my girlfriends cannot,
that's good.
Right? That my friends cannot. And so when I look at Ryan as my helpmate, I know that where I lack, he makes up. Yeah. And where he lacks, I make up, right? I make up for it, and vice versa. But then when we come together, it's like that triangle, right? If we are moving towards each other and towards God, ultimately we all grow together in unity.
That's
and
right.
So no matter what a couple faces, whether that's the loss of a child, idolatry, infidelity, pornography, I mean, like addiction, whatever a couple could possibly walk through, is there anything too big for God?
Right.
The answer is no. The answer is no.
That's right.
You know, like, we've never allowed the word divorce to be spoken in our home. Oops, I just said it right. Oh, gosh. I said it out loud. The D word.
Yeah, that D word.
D word. Like, we don't say the D word because that's not an option for us, because we believe that God is bigger than anything that we can face together.
I love that.
That is so, so good. So good.
Ryan, what about you?
Well, I think it's a daily choice. You know, I think it was Eugene Peterson that said, a long obedience in the same direction. And that is not just my commitment to Jesus, it's my commitment to Kelsey. And there are days that I always want to be in my marriage, but I'm sure Kelsey has days where she's like, you know, I'm joking. But it's one of those things where there are days where you're just challenged.
Yes, yes.
And you know, it could be a Tuesday or it could be a detrimental crisis day like we're talking about here. And so there are opportunities along the way for us to choose Jesus. And I think that, you know, one of the things that most people that go through deep, excruciating pain experiences, are you going to go towards Jesus or away? Are you going to lean into what we need, and that's Christ, or are we going to pursue other things that might numb the pain but really don't allow us to deal with the pain?
Yeah.
And I think that that's where Jesus is like, hey, you just need faith of just a mustard seed. If you want to find out more about Jesus, he calls us to lean into who he is in these difficult times. Mm-hmm. And it's only by God's grace that we can continue to grow in those deep pains with Christ. The problem sometimes is that the pain is so palpable that God's voice is so small. We have to look for him in these still tiny moments of just hope that he gave us along the way. And then also we have to really lean on his big, big promises that we made the day that we decided to commit to our spouse in front of people in the name of the Lord for sickness and in health, for richer and in poorer. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's more of the covenant than just us turning to our spouse and the commitment's got to be between you and her and in Jesus, because that's the only way that you can kind of survive all these different hard things.
Yeah, no, that's so true. What did the day, the next day, the days after Winston was born, what did those look like for you guys?
So after Winston was born, I remember Ryan's mom and stepdad drove all the way from Texas overnight to be with us. So we were rushed by family and friends. Mm. Praise God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we were numb. I mean, we were in shock. Mm-hmm. We were in not necessarily disbelief. We were in full reality of what was occurring and happening, but we were still in shock. And so, after we had Winston's funeral, we had like 300 people come to this funeral, y'all.
Wow.
It was insane.
Oh my goodness.
And after, but like Ryan said, it was just like when the phone calls stop ringing, when the flowers stop coming, when the food runs out, I'll never forget. I had one of my old bosses, actually, she showed up with like half of Costco at my doorstep, which was amazing because like not just food, but like paper plates, napkins, cups.
Yeah.
So no one had to do dishes. Like, what? I never knew I needed that.
Right.
But for us, it got quiet really quick. When you go home, like Ryan said, to that nursery that's totally done. When you go back to your home, I didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
We actually went on a little road trip. We went, I kid you not, the person who carries Whitson's namesake is Ryan's best friend, who lives just south of Kansas City. And we drove all the way out to the Whitson home, and we just retreated. We escaped because we knew that we had a safe place there, that we didn't have to be any kind of way.
Yeah.
And that we weren't in that moment. You know what I mean? And we retreated to the Whitson farm.
I love that.
And it was cool looking back, right? You pick up on details like that you think of every time you tell this story, like you said, Anne. But like just looking back, it was such a good time because it was a retreat with friends, like to truly escape, yes, but also like to get away and be ministered to by people who know God and Holy Spirit and are feeding that to you constantly in just such a safe space. That's truly what it looked like after Whitson passed away. But then going even home after that was hard. Like I remember telling Ryan on that long drive home, gosh, across the very long state of Kansas, I'm not ready to go home. Like, I don't want to face this. I'm not ready to face everything yet. You know, I want to still be in my escape. And, and even that was difficult.
Man, that is so hard. That we weren't, fully prepared. John Micah's room wasn't fully ready, but we were definitely in the works of redoing a room, for him. So I had a friend to even say, like, do I need to go pack everything up? Do I need to, close the door, all that. And so Yeah, I've heard stories of people saying I couldn't open my baby's box from the hospital for years, and then I've heard stories, and I'm the other way. I keep his baby blanket in the bed with me at night, you know, and so I know, everyone, it can be handled so differently, but like what y'all are saying, to running to Jesus and just letting him be that source of strength during the time that we have no strength, because, yeah, I remember just laying in the bed that day after surgery and holding my dead baby, but just thinking like, I don't have the wits in me to make it to tonight, you know? And then somehow you do. And then somehow you make it through the funeral and, you know, you guys, our time is running out, but I so appreciate y'all coming on and sharing about your sweet boy. And, I love hearing other stories. I know that sounds kind of silly because I wish that no other baby would pass away. But we are in this together and somehow y'all feel like family, even though we don't know you guys. Listeners, thank you so much for listening in to Hannah's Heart. It means the world to us for y'all to be here and for y'all to listen to stories. We'll see you back next week.